change.
I want you to sing it with all your heart this morning. Well, we're going to hold to God's unchanging hand.
Changing hands.
Yes, we're going to hold to God's unchanging hand.
Changing hands.
Of safety. Aren't you glad to be in the safety zone today? Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request this morning. Brother Brad, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says to please pray for Brother Mac's niece, Cindy, stage 2 of breast cancer, also for her salvation. Certainly want to remember that this morning. Also, she sends in a prayer request to please pray for my sister, Frances. She's having a CAT scan tomorrow, kidney infection. This is a her kidney infection that is resisting treatment, so we want to pray for that need this morning. Please remember Teresa Vest. She is traveling by plane to Washington, D.C., be gone for a week for her work. Brother Gene sends that in, so let's remember that. Lisa Davis says to please pray for my sister, Laura Hopkins, who is a miracle due to an accident she had when she was a child that God healed her of. She's due for serious back surgery, very apprehensive, and needs God to move for her, so we want to remember that need as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Ed and Sister Sharon Binkley. They are both sick, need a healing touch. Brother Harvey and Sister Shirley sends this in. Some of you may be aware of this, but we want to make this announcement this morning. We want to remember the family and friends of Brother Doug McHughes, who passed away this week. This past week, he was pastor at Northside Fellowship in Tucson, Arizona. He was our pastor for many years and was a great, great friend. So we want to pray for that church family, his family, that the Lord would comfort their hearts today. And this is, Brother Jimmy Babb told me about this just a few minutes ago. I want to pray for Brother Homer Frazier as he will be having his leg amputated tomorrow. Pray that there will be no major problems following this procedure, but he is in a very, very positive attitude at this time and just look into what's going to happen good for him after all this is over. So we just pray that the will of the Lord would be done and give our brother courage and God's able to fix whatever's wrong in it. You believe that this morning? You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about? Let's stand this morning. Brother Brad, if you just come, let's invite the presence of the Lord into this service. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? The word of the Lord was very sobering to us, wasn't it? Amen. We appreciate God for what he's doing. Brother Brett, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day that you've given to us, Lord. We just thank you for waking us up today, Lord, and giving us the ability to come to the house of the Lord. Truly, Lord, here lately we've seen how great of a privilege it is that sometimes we might take it for granted, Lord, but I can truly say that I'm so excited to be back in here, and I just feel at home again, Lord. And God, I look forward to this weekly, Lord, going to my job and doing the day-to-day life, Lord. This is the highlight of my week, Lord, is coming to church. And God, I just thank you for the ministry, Lord. Thank you for the message, Lord. Thank you for the truth that you've given to the world, Lord. And thank you for giving me a heart that would believe it and wants to achieve it, Lord. And thank you for the spirit that gives me the power to overcome this world and achieve it, Lord. And God, I just ask that you just be with each of these requests, Lord. There are so many, Lord. And truthfully, Lord, I don't remember them all, Father, but I know that you're aware of them all. God, those that were going for treatments and those that were going for surgeries and all those that have problems in their bodies, Lord, especially the sick, Lord. I pray that you just be with them, Lord, and just show yourself as their healer, Lord. God, we pray that you just be with the service today, Lord. May you just be with Brother Donnie. Just help him get out of the way, Lord God. We've not come to hear him, Lord. We've come to hear you, Father. No doubt he's prayed and he's studied, Father, but Father, if you don't show up in this pulpit, Lord, there's nothing of eternal value that we can hear, Father. So God, may you just help him get out of the way. Just help him speak to us, and may you help us get out of the way, Lord God, that you be able to just help us pull on our end of the saw, be able to just search our hearts of the things we have need of, Father. May you just reinforce those things that we have, Lord God, and just help those things that are lacking, Lord. Just keep us, Father, by your grace. We pray that you just bless the musicians, Lord God. May you just bless those brothers in the back and just bless everyone here, Lord God, and those that are streaming. May it just be a blessing to them, Father. May you just have that. We just pray that you have your divine will, Lord. We just commit it all to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're streaming this service today, we trust this service will be a great blessing to you as well from wherever in the world you're watching this service. Brother West wanted me to make this announcement. There'll be a meeting in the fellowship hall after service for those that are going to the Louisiana camp. And also the parents need to come to the meeting also. So if you'd remember that after service this morning, children that are going to the Louisiana youth camp and their parents. So remember that announcement. You know, the video that we saw just a few minutes ago, there's not one thing we can do about that. As a human being, we can pray, but God's done spoke. And what's going to be is going to be. I'm just glad for one thing. He has given us a commandment. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I'm glad for that this morning. And my suggestion and my word of advice to all of us, we're helpless, we're weaklings, but we've got a captain that's never lost a battle. We're in an army that's undefeated. Are you glad about it? Be bold. Be strong. The Lord's with you. Look at somebody and tell them, be bold. Be strong. God's with you. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. I have too many songs for the time that's allotted. And the only fair way to do this is to take them in the way that I received them. And this is the truth, this is the way I received them. I'm not playing favorites, but this is the way we received it. And we'll get the others in just as soon as we possibly can. Remember, no service here Wednesday night. Our youth is going to be leaving, going to camp. So remember that. But Brother Justin, wherever he's at, that was the first song that I had. And we'll do that accordingly this morning, and we'll get to the rest of the songs as time permits. It's about 11:26. We want to give Brother Donnie plenty of time to bring us the word of the Lord this morning. Somebody say, that's okay. I'm not mad. Well, it went off from right there. Something dropped. Somebody's mad. Not really. God bless you. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Great to be a Christian. It's great to be a believer. I'm not ashamed of it. Are you? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise.
Seventh morning dawned a long time ago. But something happened during the day that had to change it. So God in His grace put the seventh morning on hold. But it's just about ready to break again. And nothing will happen this time.
Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, not wish they were gone, but actually remove them, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Charity, now listen to this, suffereth long, it is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, which means puffs itself up, of course, blows itself up, and is not puffed up. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16. Awake, O north wind, come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. I'm not sure how many of you have kept up with Brother Frazier's status in the last few weeks, but I received a text today from Brother Ron Spencer, and they're going to have to remove part of his leg tomorrow. So somewhere from the knee, above the knee, somewhere. So they certainly wanted us to remember him in prayer, that God would just be with him. He's had a couple of different bouts of infection, and they had to do surgery this week to remove the infection, and now they're just afraid it's going to be more than what they can be able to deal with. So certainly want to pray for our brother. How many has a need today before we go before the Lord? Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, as we've gathered here again today in this place, we count it an honor, Lord, to be once again under the auspices of the Holy Ghost, the deity of God in our presence and in our midst. Lord Jesus, we're asking you today, Father, that as we've mentioned our Brother Frazier, bringing him before you, Lord, he's been through so many surgeries in the last several weeks. And we know, God, that it's been a wearisome thing for him and for his family. He's lost so much weight. And Lord, I just pray for our brother, dear God, that you would help him. You see, Father, that the doctors seemingly have done everything that they know to do to try to save his leg, but it seems as if, the Lord, that they're going to have to remove it. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with our brother. I think Brother Ron said tomorrow at 10 o'clock, so we want to hold him up in prayer, and that you just be with him and everything will go well. Lord, I ask that, Father, you would be with his wife, Lord, his family. May you just help them during this time, Lord. We're asking you, Father, now on behalf of the service today. We know that a man that has the ability to study and read and put things together would be able to put thoughts and be able to orchestrate a direction by which he would want to convey a thought. And then at the end of that sermon, a consensus of what he wanted the people to hear. But all that within itself is not very good if you don't come and anoint it, Lord, and make it real and make it live. I've studied, I've prayed, I've applied myself, and I've done the best that I know to do. Now I'm reporting for duty today, Lord. I just pray that you'd help me. Help me to get out of the way. Help me to not say anything, Lord, that would be displeasing to you. Shut my mouth to anything that would not bring glory to the kingdom of God. You saw the hands of your children here present that had needs and requests and desires. We bring them all before you today and lay them right there before the throne of God. Speak to us today, Father, for it's in the name of the Word, the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Are you happy today? We ought to be the happiest people in the world. We're living in a great hour of prophecy, aren't we? In a great time when God is fulfilling and completing what He started so many, many years ago. I'm just so happy to be part of it. Let's look now, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. We want to look at another aspect of what charity is and what charity does. As we know from looking at this in 1 Corinthians 13, this is the most that charity is expounded on in the entirety of the New Testament. Other places in the book of Romans and other places the word charity is mentioned. And I'm just to let you know that charity is not something that is just going to be in the last day. But there were actually people in the first church age who had achieved to a walk with God and had charity in their lives. So this is not something that is brand new. It is not something that we're the first ones to have. As a matter of fact, we're the last ones to have it. But it is the completion of what God did 2,000 years ago. Now, in describing this, Paul could have used so many different things to try to define it. And no doubt, he must have really laid before the Lord to find the counsel of God and the direction of God. How do you explain? How do you take human words, as he would have been written it in the, either the Greek or the Aramaic? How would you have been able to take Greek words or Aramaic words and define such a great thing as what charity really is? Can you imagine how this man of God must have prayed and prayed and prayed and sought God? God, what do I say? How do I convey it? How do I bring it over to them? Because what I'm seeing, Lord, what charity is, it's actually you personified through a work of grace in a human heart. An individual that was born a sinner, born lost, and yet has been transformed, and now something that you're doing. I'm so grateful that God had men of God, aren't you? To be able to seek the Lord and be able to bring things like this to us. And you think now that God inspiring this man, as I mentioned to you already, that he did not use adjectives to describe charity, but he uses verbs. So he uses words that are words of action instead of words that are words of description. So it is not something, well, it's not a red car that is so long and it is very wide and it is very fast and it is very shiny and it is very, that's all adjectives. But instead of using that, he uses verbs, something that puts it into action. So charity is not something that we just talk about. It is something that lives itself out of us as we will surrender ourselves to the power of God that lives in us. You believe that? Now, watch here in verse 5. Let's take another aspect of what charity does. Again, now, Paul says in verse 4, to lead up to it, charity suffereth long, it is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly. Now, you know, I said to you again today, myself, I don't understand why anybody wouldn't want to have this. I don't understand why anybody would not want this as their personal possession. To me, you couldn't have anything greater. No matter how much money you've got, no matter how famous, rich, important, all of that, these verses for an individual to be able to have this by divine nature. You could have no greater possession in your life than you could be able to have this. Now, I want you to notice that there is an attribute of what charity does. Now, remember this again as a verb, that charity doth not behave itself unseemingly. Now, remember the Holy Ghost is not only here to change the way we look on the outside. He's not just here to change our appearance, but he is here to also change our behavior. And that is in the way that we act around other people, as well as the way we act when no one is around us, whenever nobody's seeing us, when we act by ourselves, because really that's what you are anyway. But this also is an endowment that gives us the ability to behave ourselves in an appropriate way concerning other people. Now, notice one thing that charity never does. Charity does not behave itself unseemingly. It will not behave in a disgraceful or unbecoming manner. Well, praise the Lord. Charity is not vulgar. Charity is not filthy. Charity is not selfish. Charity is not unkind. Charity will never behave itself in a manner that will even be thought filthy or ungodly in the sight of other people. Now, come on, gonna get quiet on me already. You see, there is something about charity that is constantly mindful of the image that a child of God is represented. So therefore, charity, whether it's in the restaurant, whether it's in Walmart, whether it's in Lowe's or Home Depot, wherever it is, charity in an individual's heart constantly have this presence about it, that it will never behave itself in an unseeming manner. Praise the Lord. Charity will not do it. Charity will never allow us to act indecent or unbecoming to the calling that we have as children of God. And the saints said, now if you'll notice these words here that Paul chose to use, it has sexual overtones about it. So it refers then not only to our behavior in the sense of when we're at church, but it reflects something about the human nature, and we're all, of course, left sexual once we have the new birth. But charity inside of us helps us as individuals. Now I'm going to get right down where we live today. Charity will help young people when they are in the time of their courtship. It will help them to behave in a decent manner. Praise the Lord. And you know what it'll also do? It'll help married folks do the same thing. They'll not flirt with somebody else's wife. Or a woman will not flirt with somebody else's husband. Come on, Happy Valley. Don't you get quiet on me now. Because this is what charity does. Charity has this about it to make us act in a manner which is becoming to what we profess that we are, and that is children of God. So charity will not make you act flirtatious. Praise the Lord. Charity will not make a man flirt with another man's wife or vice versa. It will not only do that for married folks, it will make folks that are not married, that are single, it will make them also act in a becoming manner and never make them act in something that is unbecoming or unbeseeming to them as Christians. And the saints said, now, I've been misunderstood and I've been very much ridiculed because of my stand on some of these things. As a matter of fact, when I first came here to this church, some of you folks didn't like me because of the way I preached it. But I'm going to preach it again today. Because you see, this is the nature of the Holy Ghost. And I want more, one thing more for you than anything else. And that is for you to be saved and miss hellfire. Now, you call me straight, you call me hard, you call me whatever you want to. I don't think a pastor could desire a greater thing for his sheep than that is for you to be saved. Filled with the Holy Ghost and filled with the power of God. Now, you have every right to disagree with me in anything you want to disagree with me with. But nobody has any right to disagree with the Word. Praise the Lord. Now watch this in Rejected King. I want you to notice how the message coming from what we say we believe to be a prophet of Malachi 4 sets forth about behavior. Now if you realize he said this is a mixed audience, and I say this with sweetness and with mellowness of the spirit, man cannot put your arm around women without a human sensation. I don't care how much Holy Ghost you've got. I don't care how saved you are. If you're a preacher, if you're whatever you are, you cannot do it according to the same prophet that preached on the seals and the thunders. So let's hear a little bit of thunder this morning, shall we? Remember, thunder is the voice of God. Again, in adoption part 4, now he's talking about the women that was coming to him in the sixth dimension. They were throwing their arms around me, and no sensation of women like would be now. I don't care how holy you are, who you are, what kind of a preacher you are, priest or whatever you might be, there's no man. Now, any man that'll stand and tell me this don't affect him, I am going to call you a liar to your face, or your back, or your side, or your foot, or your ear. Because I believe what he said, not what you said. Now, unless, of course, you're a pervert, then you might want to hug on the men. Now watch, he said no sensation was there, and he said no man can let a woman throw his arms around her without having a human sensation. Right, but you see, charity makes us behave in a becoming manner, in a godly manner. Oh, but it's in my nature to be huggy, but it should be in your charity nature to refrain from a huggy. If you want a huggy, huggy a teddy bear, not a woman. People will think I'm a sissy. We're going to think you're an adulterer if you hug our women. And I will not tolerate it. No! It will not be allowed as long as I'm here. So I don't like it. Suit yourself. Hit the door, bud. This is God's message of this hour. And I, for one, believe it. I believe this is the way the Holy Ghost makes a man act and a woman act in a godly, decent, becoming holy manner. I don't care how saintly a man tries to live and how godly he lives. If a woman puts her arms around a man, it's a human sensation. That don't mean a devil. That means him a human. Now you might as well, I don't care, you call yourself sanctified, and I believe in sanctification too, but you're still a human. Amen. And there's a sensation. Oh, you say a man that does that, it's a weakness in him, it's a human. He's a human being. I don't mean he ain't got the Holy Ghost, there's a human being. So the thing is, don't hug him. Let me say this. He said, I don't care how saintly a man is. As long as he's a human, he cannot take the other sex in his arms, a female, without having a human sensation. Praise the Lord. But Brother Donnie, it's my nature. Ah, but you're supposed to have another one, you see. Another nature, which is God, the Word. And if you've got the Holy Ghost, it'll bring this subject to the inside life. Now, if you're just a message follower, you go ahead and do whatever you want to do. But I thought y'all wanted to go to heaven. I mean, I didn't realize y'all wanted to stay in the tribulation period. Y'all got to make up your mind what you want. Y'all want to stay here and burn? You all want to stay here in this nation and be blown to smithereens? Or do you want to leave this world? Make up your mind what you want, Happy Valley. And let me know when you've decided. As for me, my mind is made up. I want to leave this world. I want to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I don't want to stay here. Oh my. If you're a red-blooded man, if you're really a man in that way, you can't help it. You can't help it. So what's the fix? Don't do it. You're human. I don't say you do anything wrong, but the sensation's there just exactly the same. Praise Brother Donnie. Fifth seal. Any man that lets a woman hug up in his arms, him being made of sails of male, her of female, there's a sensation. I don't care who you are. Don't tell me if you're not a healthy person. Now, if you're not as a healthy individual, argue with Brother Branham. Now, friends, those of you who don't like this, don't get mad at me. I'm just the mailman. And this was supposed to be delivered in your mail this morning. So I'm just the mailman. That's all. Now would you notice how that Brother Branham had this about him? And this was the spirit that the message was delivered in the fifth seal again, when he's talking about beyond the curtain of time. And these women all come and they started throwing their arm around me. Now that's unusual. It ain't unusual for some message folks and some message preachers even. They love hugging on the women. But you see, that was unusual for the Elijah prophet. You know I wouldn't stand for that. Of course, generally myself, I don't have to worry about that too much since most of the women at this church are scared to death of me. I don't know why I'm just like a big cuddly teddy bear and just as ooey gooey as honey and all that, but they run and they see me coming. Well, I'll tell you one thing, I'd rather them do that than them waiting in line ready to smack me in the mouth or smack me on the jaw with a kiss. Come on, I'd rather you to love me for what I stand for than to love my anatomy. Oh my. God's provided place. He said, there's no man, I don't care who you are, can let a woman in the make of a woman hug herself up close to you. If you're a true, healthy man, there's a sensation. But we're Christians, but we're still humans. But it wasn't there. There's no glands. They're all the same gland. Oh, happy day, happy day. How I long for that hour. Just pure, unadulterated, sisterly, and brotherly love. Now we'll be honest that as brothers and sisters, we love one another. But yet because of this barrier, as sisters hugging brothers, that will never be allowed in this life. But once the glands are changed, all of that is gone. Oh, praise God, that's the way it should be now. But it can't be now. Why? Because of the human sensation. I want you to listen how deep this goes. There are pure, unadulterated sisterly and brotherly love, more than it would be even for you to hug your own little daughter. Your own daughter, yet she's made, she's female, and you're a male. It could create something. You mean a father that would hug his daughter in the wrong way? It could create something. Brother Donnie, you still hug your daughters? I do, but in a decent and becoming manner. Do I hug my granddaughters? I do. And I've got two sitting here that's young women. But I do not hug them the way I do them little 5 and 6 year olds. Why? Because they are young women. And it could create something. Come on, Happy Valley. Don't sit there and look at me like you know what I'm talking about. You know well what I'm saying. So when we know this, charity inside of our heart, it wants us to behave in a becoming and befitting manner suited to who we are. Oh my, praise the Lord. Now what's charity then does not behave itself in an unbecoming manner. Now, let's move on to this next attribute. Everybody can take your breaks off now, and I'm getting past the part that you don't like, so you can start saying amen now. Now watch, again in verse 5. It does not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own. Why would Paul call charity here in the female gender? So now charity is a her. It does not seek her own. Charity is never selfish. Charity doesn't live for herself alone. She doesn't think for herself alone. She doesn't just think of her wife and her kids either, but she's constantly thinking of the welfare and the benefit of others. Oh my. So he says, charity, it does not behave itself unseemly and seeketh not her own praise, her own profit, her own benefit, her own glorification. You see, if every person here at Happy Valley had this kind of love, what kind of church would we have? Then everybody here would not be worrying about if they got to sing or if they got to preach or if they got to do this or if they got to do that or who acknowledged them and who recognized them. Every individual would be so full of charity that we would realize it's not about us. It's not about me preaching or you singing or you playing the guitar. The whole thing is about God's purpose and God's will and God's accomplishment in the earth. Not about us individuals. Charity is not selfish, but contrariwise. Charity doesn't think of her own self. Charity is self-sacrificing. So it does not live its life in an island to where everything focuses around it. Oh my. It doesn't seek its own happiness to the injury of others. Well, if this is what I want, bless God, I don't care if nobody likes it. You know right there, that's not a person living under the influence of the Holy Ghost. A married man that's filled with charity is not just concerned about what the marriage can do for him. He's concerned about what the marriage can do for him and his wife. A man that has a family is not concerned about what the family can do for him, but what he can do for his wife and his children. A man filled with charity that goes to church is not just worried about everything in the church being set to suit him. He wants to control the thermometer. He wants to control the slider on the volume of the preacher. He wants to control this. He wants to control that. That man needs the Holy Ghost. A man or woman whose heart is filled with charity loves God better than they love themselves. But the selfish man loves God. Let me write this to you in this way. A selfish individual loves God as a close friend. And he loves to think about the milder, gentler, warmer attributes of God. He loves to rejoice in God's gifts to him. He considers the Lord Jesus a very dear friend. And he hopes at the end of his life that the Lord Jesus will save him. So he relates to God in this type of love because it is a selfish love. Now he loves this friend and he invites this friend into his life. But he doesn't want that friend to go in all the doors of his heart. You see. So he said, Lord Jesus, come in and save me from hell. But you come right inside the door of my heart and you stand right there. Don't you move beyond that spot right there, because if you do, that means you're a nosy Jesus. That means you're a pushy Jesus. And I wanted to get saved so I could be free. Don't you go into that next door because that's my private life. And don't you go into my pride. And don't you go into my arrogance. You stay out of these doors. You hear me, Jesus? You mind your own business. You say, I would never say that. Of course you would in those words. But you said when he gets on your hide where you live, by your actions, by your temper, by the way you had the attitude you have toward the word, that's none of your business. You stay out of there. But you see, I don't want Jesus to just come in my door. I want to be his wife. So I'm going to fling over every door in my heart, every door in my soul, every door in my being. I want Jesus to look at my music. I want Jesus to look at my private life. I want Jesus to look at everything I do. I want every aspect of my life to be open. And if there's anything he finds in there that said, this is not becoming to you. No problem, Lord. Trash it. Get rid of it. If you don't like it, then trash it, Lord. No matter how thirsty I'm fixing to get in a few minutes and want that, if that's trash, forget it. You see, a heart that is filled with charity, it does not think of what can the message do for me? What can this church do for me? What can Brother Donnie do for me? What? You know, a heart that is filled with undying love, they're thinking, God, what can I do to help this church? As an individual, what could I do? Could I pray more, Lord? Could I be able to do this, God? What could I do to benefit the message of the hour? What can I do as a child of God? Oh, my. Notice Paul in Romans
15:1, this is charity in another expression. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And not to please ourselves. Now, I want to see the hands of honest people here in this place today that'll say, you live a lot of your life to please yourself. Okay, the rest of you, I'm fixing to cast that lying devil out of you right now. Satan! Not to please ourselves. Now, does that mean we're not supposed to do things we enjoy? Certainly not. Does that mean we're not supposed to go places that we enjoy? Of course not, unless it's wrong. But the focus is that the main purpose of our lives is not us. What if your heart, you woke up this morning at 6 o'clock, and your heart said, you know what? I've been living in this body right here now for 58 years. I've been pumping blood up and down to your head, down to your toes, over to your arms, down in your legs. I'm never acknowledged. Nobody's ever even shook my valve. Nobody's ever seen me. Nobody even knows I'm there other than just you're alive. I'm sick of this. Needless to say, about this time this morning, instead of y'all laughing at me, you'd be crying because you heard I passed away. Because my heart got sick of pumping all this blood. What's it do day in and day out? Pump, 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 pump. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of times in my life. Does it live for its own? Does it pump for its own good? What is it? A muscle. A muscle that lays there and pumps and contracts and expands. Is it doing it for its beauty? For its honor? For its glory? It's doing it because it's put inside the body to nourish the rest of the body with blood flow. Oh my. This is the way God made the body. What about the spiritual body? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm this and that. No. Just go back to thumping. Thump, 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 thump. But nobody ever acknowledges me. Nobody ever even calls my name from the pulpit. Thump, thumper. Just thump, 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 thump. Pray. All you say I can do is pray. Well then pray, 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 pray. Well, but all I do is come to church. Well, come to church, come to church, come to church. Clap your hands, sing, worship. Why? Because you're not doing it for yourself. Oh my. Notice in verse 2 now, Paul says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Oh my Lord. Let every one of us, I don't expect you to do this today unless you're an us. If you're an us, I expect you will. If you're not one of us, I don't expect you will. But let every one of us, oh my goodness. Can I go on? Thank you. Verse 3. This is the reason why. For even Christ pleased not himself. And you better be glad. I said you better be glad. What if every preacher from this day on stands behind this pulpit and preaches that which he chooses? Because most of the ones I know who stand here do not enjoy preaching hard. They do not enjoy preaching things that get right down where you live. They would much rather preach something that would be easier to make them more well thought of. What if every time Brother Louie gets up from this time on, Brother Louie comes in, y'all are down, sitting there, man, you could eat goats out of a 2.5-inch gas pot. You're sitting there like a big old giraffe face. I ain't ready for church. I don't know why I'm even here. I don't know if I'm going to get in or not. And Brother Louie gets up and said, poo on you. You go to whatever you want to do. Go to Walmart. Go to Lowe's. Y'all get out of here. We ain't having church. And you say, what's the matter with him? And he says, I'm tired of fooling with you people. I come in here trying to get you clap heads, and you just stand there like that. I try to get you to sing, and you stand there. Suit yourself. What if the musicians looked out there and said, y'all ain't worshiping, so we ain't playing. Harry gets off the organ. Larry gets off the pen. All the musicians step off and say, suit yourself. I walk out. Of course, by that time, y'all mad at hornets. I walk out of the office, and you're sitting there with this look on your face, and I say, hey, don't look at me that way. I don't have to put up with this. Church is dismissed. So I ask you, should we please ourselves? I don't think so. Should we come to church with worship in our mind to please ourselves? Should we come to church with that in mind to please? Oh no. So what if the Lord Jesus, being the divine light in the presence of God, the Spirit, the invisible Father, from this attribute of his own being, was going to create a human body and send it on the earth. That human body would then have the choice, which he did in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he looks at this and he says, I don't want this. I'm sorry, I mean, I thought I could do this, but this is too much. You're asking way too much of me. So from the Garden of Gethsemane, he decides, I don't want to do this. So instead of ascending on the Mount of Olives, he ascends from the Garden of Gethsemane. Goes right back into the presence of God, lives there in that white, brilliant light for eternity. But because he chose to please himself on one decision, where would you be today? I can tell you, lost. Forever. Are you glad he didn't please himself? Are you glad when God sent us a prophet in this age that he did not preach what he might have wanted to preach? That he did not skirt around issues and not deal with this and deal with that with the gym and please himself? I'm so glad we had a man that was willing to preach the word if the world forsook him. If the world turned their back on him, what if God did that of Christ? God required that of Brother Branham? Do you think God's going to require less of me and you? Well, clap your hands if it suits you. Stand up if you want to. Pray if you want to. Read your Bible if it pleases you. Oh, my. Y'all sound like sinking creek this morning. Now watch. Paul says, for even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. This is why I am not ashamed to bear the reproach of this message. Amen. Folks can ridicule us, make fun of us, do whatever they want to do. I bear this reproach with godly dignity. I bear the reproach of this word. Amen. And I am so proud to bear it because I know one day it's going to bear me out of this world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice in Philippians chapter 2 verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now this is not being nosy. This is not prying into their business, so to speak. But you have such a feeling for the body that if someone's not at church, if someone's down or discouraged, you realize that's not just the pastor's responsibility. That's my responsibility as a member of this body. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5 again, he says, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not our own. Oh my. It's not easily provoked. Now the word easily is not in the original. The words of Paul are emphatic and absolute. Charity is not provoked. Charity cannot ever, under any circumstances, be provoked. Help me, Lord. I said, help me, Lord. I'm going to put all my legs and my feet and everything up. Help me, Lord. If I would live my life under the influence of my charity can never be provoked. Oh, my. Provoked, which is occasions of unkindness, when things are said against you that are harmful, when things are intentionally done to try to sharpen you. Charity is never provoked. The word used for charity here means to sharpen, or provoked rather, is to sharpen by or with. So it's something that is used to try to sharpen you. Your sister's in your paring knife or your slicing knife in your kitchen from time to time. Depending on what you're cutting. Your sisters know they're cutting sweet potatoes. They just run a knife. Other things just takes the edge right off of it. So what do you have to do? You have to sharpen that knife. You're removing tiny, tiny bits and pieces of that dull edge on that knife to sharpen it. And there are many, many things that come across in our lives that slide us through the sharpener. But remember, when you're being pulled between it, your charity is never provoked. Oh my. It may be applied to the act of sharpening a knife or a sword. There is nothing better that I know of to sharpen a sword than opposition. Than when people question what you believe. That's one thing that I appreciate about the negative things that are going on around those that are leaving the message. It's only making real true men of God sharpen their swords even more. So now they're more convinced than they ever was before. And what was it that brought that on? Revival? What was it that brought that on? It was questions that were raised up. It was something that must sharpen that sword. So look out, devil. Our swords are a lot sharper now than they were a year ago. Amen. You know what I'm talking about in your own life? When opposition comes and trouble comes, and what does it do? It pulls your sword through there. Oh man, you say, oh God, I don't know what's going on. But when you come out on the other side, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, notice he says, charity does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. To rouse, to anger, to excite, to indignation, or wrath. And the meaning of the Greek phrase is, a man who's under the influence of love is not prone to violent anger or exasperation. He is calm, serious, patient, sober. Testing. 1, 2, 3. I think my microphone went dead. Hello? Testing. 1, 2, 3. Do we all need to move up? Charity cannot be provoked. But it just so happens my name is Donnie. And yours is Terry, and yours is Kenneth, and yours is Jim. And I love Jim Babb, but Jim Babb can be provoked. I've seen him provoked. Y'all love me as your pastor, but you've seen me provoked. Praise the Lord. But you ain't never seen my charity provoked. It can't, it's just impossible. Oh, but what's the answer? Donnie getting less and less and less, and charity getting more and more and more. Because the battle will always be there. The ability to provoke lays in me. The ability to not be provoked lays in me deeper. Oh, thank God. So how can I ever get the deeper resource out? Die to this out here. Which don't come one time by a new birth. But it comes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then after Sunday's over, guess what? It starts again tomorrow. And then goes through the week again and comes around again on Monday. It happens every day, every week, every month, every year of my life. Whew. Oh my goodness. So a man that is dominated by charity, he's serious, he's patient, he's kind, he's forgiving, long-suffering. Sound like to me you're describing an angel. I'm describing a son of God. Or a daughter of God. Now can you imagine God taking a man or a woman? I mean, they've got such a temper. Lord have mercy. Their mom and daddy didn't feed them with plastic spoons. They fed them with steel spoons because they're so big they gummed them in pieces. There's meaner than a copper. The rattlesnakes wouldn't even play with them when they was babies. Then God changes them. Fills them with the Holy Ghost. Takes that nature part out of the soul. Severs the body from the soul. And puts charity in it. Now the severing didn't eliminate that from the body. Great deal of it's still there. Then God gets that man more under his control. And that man, boy, you'd cross him. I'm telling you what, he'd smack you. He'd do this, that, and other. But all of a sudden with the Holy Ghost, he just cries. Lord, forgive him. And the devil's looking at him and said, is that John Brown? Is that the same John Brown that would cuss the door off the hinges? That man draw moonshine like spring water. Meaner the devil himself. What's happened to that man? That man had such temper. He would rage. He would go insane partially. Look at him now. He's calm. He's patient. But I can see it still in him because his knuckles are turned white when he's standing there in church over the pulpit. When he's standing there in a pew and that preacher burning his hide up, his knuckles are turned as white as that white shirt. What is it that keeps him from speaking out? Charity. The word trims his toenails. It walks up one side and down the other. And boy, his old flesh may get so raw. And charity's standing there. I love it. I love it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the body's saying, what are you talking about? He's talking about you. He say, he ain't talking about me. He's talking about you. You need to understand, me and you ain't the same people. Hallelujah. You need to understand there is a separation going on in here. Oh. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. is not provoked at all. Thinketh no evil. As self-love makes us think well of ourselves, charity makes us think well of others. You see, self-love has this tendency that when we do wrong or fall short or somehow mess up, self-love, if we'll listen to it, it is always willing to make so many excuses for the reason we messed up. Now, God don't expect you to be perfect. Now, come on, be real. You know it runs in your family. You can't help it. What is that? That's self-love. It's encouraging you. Yourself sees yourself as down, and self tries to encourage yourself. But through what? Human weakness. By explaining and making excuse for your faults. Now, hang on, everybody. What self-love will do to you and for you, charity will do the same thing for those who do these things against you. Self-love will not allow us to excuse our wife. We've been married for 32 years, or however long you've been married. She knows I don't like my pancakes this way. She knows I hate turnip greens. Why does she still make them? He knows I don't like that. She knows. What is that? Self-love. It's defending yourself. But now what charity will do is turn that right back around and say, reckon she thinks I need them turnip greens? By fixing this broccoli casserole after all of these years, she must think, I need it. But self-love will turn up your nose and say, I hate that stuff. She makes me so mad, I'm telling you. Charity thinketh no evil. Everybody hang with me now. It means that a person who's under the influence of charity refuses to accept evil thoughts against their brothers. A man who's under the influence of charity, even when it's facts and can be proven, will not hardly accept it. Well, I figured I'd lose a few amens. I just didn't figure I'd lose them all. The Greek word here that Paul uses is for thinketh is that which is commonly rendered impute. Impute. So it means that charity in a man's heart is not willing to impute wrong or impute sin. It tends to be more understanding and think, well, maybe there's a reason why he said that. Maybe there's a reason why she did that. But self-love will always go on the defensive of us, of course. You see, if my self-love did this for you, I wouldn't need charity. But there's something about this old rotten self-love that I got. It loves me. And it wants to take up for me. It wants to defend me. And I'm sure I'm the only one here in the whole church that's God. And I'm sorry that God had me to preach this all for me today. But I mean, apparently all of y'all self-love, it loves everybody else but you. The way y'all looking at me anyway. Oh my. Charity thinks different than humans. You see, if someone doesn't shake your hand before church, self-love will go in the defensive mode. Did you see that? He walked right by.
Watch him. He'll get up there and sing. He'll get up. Look at you, hypocrite. You, I'm... But charity will say, he probably didn't even see me. Here I stand, 250 pound, 4 foot wide, 9.5 feet tall. He probably never even saw me. You see why this is strange to your friends? Because we don't think this way. We think so much in the realm of self-love, self-preservation, self, 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 self. And we're so used to making excuses for ourselves. When something like this is presented to us, it seems like it's from another world. Oh my. To merely surmise or accept every rumor or look for things in the faults of others, that's no charity at all. No evil report will charity even accept without evidence. And then it's going to have to be proven. And even at that, charity don't want to. Help us, Lord. Don't raise your hand, but how many reports have you accepted against brothers and sisters and preachers and whatever more? Wasn't even proven. Wasn't even facts that you could prove that it happened. And yet we accepted it. And then we wonder why we're no farther up the road than what we are. How can we be? And remember, God will not require this of the Laodicean church. This is bride love I'm talking about. Oh my. When forced to believe things against others, charity still accepts it with brokenness. Charity isn't glad when it hears this man backslid or this man lost a business deal, even though that man done them wrong. Charity does not take joy in hearing others accused of sin, much less when it's proven they actually done it. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. Now, don't raise your hands, but how many of you today, people who've wronged you and done you bad, bad wrong, if you heard they'd done this or got in trouble with the IRS or got in trouble with this or that or the other, or come to find out they're sneaking around doing some little something, would you actually keep that quiet? Or could you wait to get out on your smartphone and post it on Facebook? You might not even post it, but you'd laugh to your husband. Deserves a right. Deserves him right. Friends, that is not a life that is under the impact of charity. Now, as I said, you folks make up your mind whether you want to go to tribulation or you want to go to rapture. If we want to go in the rapture, this is what the Lord God of heaven is requiring of our lives. And this is not just a teaching. It must be our nature. But there's something about the human unregenerate nature that's left in our flesh that if you'll everyone be honest and admit it, your flesh will have a hard time to keep from rejoicing when you find out something evil against somebody that done something against you. Preach, Brother Donnie. Amen, Brother Donnie. I'm with you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for being a good pastor, Brother Donnie, and telling us the truth. We love you, Brother Donnie. Go ahead, Brother Donnie. Charity doesn't look for a malicious report, trying to find mistakes and trying to search your records and search your past. No, actually, if you can pull up all kinds of facts and pages after pages and show a man or woman whose heart is filled with charity these things against their enemy, that man or woman in their heart, I'll tell you the overwhelming feeling they will have. Sadness.
disappointment and sorrow. You know why? They're born again. Because that's the way God feels. Can you imagine? Here we go to the cross. A man is hanging there. He's forsaken by God, by man, and by angels. The anointing left him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he walked out of there a sinner. He's been beaten to a pulp. He's been whipped. His tongue is nearly swollen out of his mouth. His head is swollen near the size of a bucket. His perspiration is going up and down and flowing in his blood pressure. He's the worst looking wretch of a human being that would ever live on the earth. God the Father, the Spirit, can no longer look at him because he's sinned. So the Spirit turns. The angels turn away. Man ridicules and laughs him. Makes fun of him. It was so bad all the apostles left and fled. But yet here he stands, the epitome of charity. Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? His vision is now so blurred because of his blood pressure and his heart rate. The way the crucifixion was designed so that they'd nail one foot on top of the other, put a board on the bottom, and they'd have to raise themselves up, their arms bent over the top of their lungs. They would die of asphyxiation. So they'd have to push themselves up high enough, and here he's hanging, and he can't breathe because his whole cavity is crushed in by all the pressure, all the fluid, his heart failing. So here he hangs without catching a breath. In order to breathe, he has to... His arms give way and his legs give way. And he looks out on them people who did it and said, Father, forgive them. Not you devils, you serpent seed. I damn you to hell. I long for the day when you'll stand before my throne and I will cast you into outer darkness. Father, forgive them. Based upon them asking for forgiveness? No. You think you've done something when you forgive somebody who asks you? You're just getting started on understanding forgiveness. The greater degree of forgiveness is when you can forgive the man who never even has the guts to ask you. Because some people can't. It's like it's not in them to ask you. Did he stand there with vengeance? I promise I'll get you. You wait till the day of judgment. I promise I'll destroy you. But Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Here is the very epitome of charity. Where's the Holy Ghost? Gone from him. Where's the Spirit of God? Gone from him. So what is it about Christians then that would look for things on others? What is it about some of these folks who's left the message that would search and look? They would rejoice to try to find some kind of sin in the prophet's life and say they're free? Free from what? How could you have 1 ounce of the Holy Ghost and look for dirt on any Christian? How could we as message believers claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost and look for dirt on a Baptist preacher or a Methodist or a Church of God? We're not dirt finders. We're not garbage dump people. Lord, children. Charity must not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. When forced to believe evil of another, it accepts it only on the basis of facts that are proven, and then it does not receive it with a glad and cheerful heart. It does not find pleasure in the sin of others. Paul goes on to say in verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity. When you meet a man, a woman, a preacher, a boy, a girl that rejoices when other people are found in sin, you just know right there that person's not living under the influence of charity. Let's bow our heads. Let's stop right here. Merciful God, why wouldn't anybody want this? Why wouldn't any of you sitting here today, why wouldn't you rather have this than hate? Why wouldn't you rather have this than envy or strife? Friends, when we're living like this, we're living a divine life. Think of what I'm saying to you today. These are the attributes of a divine life. Something that a mere mortal cannot do. Now you selectively might be able to go through by human nature and pick out certain things that charity can do. And maybe you can do that on your own. But there is none of us, and there has never been a mortal on the earth that could do all of this. It's impossible. Unless that person has received the divine life of God. I don't want you to think of your wife now, your children, the pastor, the deacons, but I want you to think of yourself. And don't leave out of here today saying, well, I ain't got nothing. My goodness, I don't know how many of them things that he mentioned I see in my life. I must not have nothing. No, don't you leave with that attitude. You want to acknowledge what God has done for you and thanking for that. But also acknowledge we need to move up. We need to let more of this flow out of our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you was me today in the visible audience and the invisible audience as well? You want more of this in your life as a Christian. You find yourself guilty in the avenues of this, Brother Donnie? Most certainly I do. As my flesh rejoice in hearing the faults of others. Sure, my flesh is. Just like yours. It's rotten. It ain't no good. But let me tell you this today, friends. God strike me dead if I'm not telling the truth. There is no one. There is no one. I would rejoice today to hear of this man. These folks that have left the message and blasted me and blasted the prophet of God and blasted you and all that sort of thing. I would not rejoice today to hear that one of them died with a heart attack. I would not rejoice today to hear that one of them had this secret sin in their life while all this was going on. No. And that makes me feel so happy in my heart because I realize I'm a rich man today. For a mere mortal as I am, to feel that in my soul, I'm a wealthy man. When I leave this world, I'll never leave much material things behind me. I'm going to take my riches with me, which is my character. I want you to look at your heart today. Really, is there anyone that you would kind of smile or laugh or smirk would come on your face? The afternoon at church, somebody give you the news. Hey, you know so-and-so, had you heard they've had a girlfriend for all the... Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, man, I always knew. Would there be something in you that would make you rejoice at that news? Then let me tell you right now. Ask God to help you lay that aside. Because that's not Jesus. That's self-love. That's self-love. Heavenly Father, I know the service last night and today were somber, sober. Make us really look at ourselves. But Lord, we look out here on the world and we see the signs of the end time around us everywhere, daily. They're getting ready. We know, Lord, is Israel coming under the pressure from around the world. The United Nations wanting to bring resolutions against Israel as being the biggest human violator rights of all any of the nations on the earth. I read it last night after church. More than China, more than Iran, more than Saudi Arabia. They're wanting to bring up the resolutions against them and punish them. Lord, we know as they're feeling the pressure from the world, the bride is feeling it in the spirit. The anti-Semite thing is growing all over Europe, Britain, and America. And the anti-bride is doing the same thing. It lets us know it's getting close, Lord. But no matter how much them signs are pointing in that direction, we've still got to be right ourselves. So Lord, if there's one here today who has any of these things in them that dominates their life, the rapture can't come if they're bride until they're ready. So may you turn on your great scan, as it were, and run our lives through your great scan, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Begin with me, Lord. Scan me. See if you see anything. Lord, begin in my soul. Come out through my spirit. Search me through and through. Is there any enmity toward anyone? Any hatred? Lord, I know hatred can hide and bitterness can hide, but it can't hide from your great searchlight. May you search the deepest recesses of my being today, Lord. If you find anything there, if there's any person I've wronged, I kneel before you and before this congregation, and I ask you to forgive me. If there's any person around the world that I need to make anything right with, show me now, Lord God. I'll do it before the day is gone. Search me. Look in me, Lord. May charity rule my life. Hallelujah. Oh, I'll always have this old battle with this flesh of mine. But I want this flesh subdued, subjected to the power of the hidden life. Grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, for those of you that are here, as I approach the Lord myself, for me first, any of you that would like to be remembered today in prayer, you'd like for me to pray for you. Would you raise your hand to the Lord? Now, many of you already see these things in your life, but for many of you, it's not receiving it initially. It's just for it to be more flowing out of your life. Just daily, on a daily basis. Do we all see room to move up in our lives? Certainly. Amen. Then Lord Jesus, I bring them before you. I've confessed my wrong and my shortcoming. Even of anything, as David said, of something secret, Lord, that we don't even know about ourselves. Now, Lord, I bring them to you. Help us, Father, that charity will live more out of our lives. So every day of the people we deal with, when we come to church, we won't come to church to please ourselves. We won't come to church, Father, to worship in a way that pleases ourselves. We're not here to preach as preachers in a way that pleases ourselves. We're not here as saints to worship in a way that pleases ourselves. Help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord, that we'll not rejoice. We walk out the door and receive a text from a friend about a bitter enemy of ours, that something terrible was found out about him today. Help us, Lord, to be so endued with charity that maybe just even last night or this morning, we would have kind of been happy about that. But may something happen in such a supernatural way right here in this service today that when we read that text, our hearts will kind of sink with sorrow. Lord, it'll take you to do that. It'll take you to do that because you know our flesh, it's rotten. Lord, it's not born again. It's unregenerate, Lord. Oh, Jesus, may charity abound. May charity abound and our souls live in God. Oh, Jesus, grant it, I pray, Lord. My God, our Lord, help us today. Let's stand together, saints. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. There are three great virtues of God that flow through the body of Christ. Faith, hope, charity. But the greatest of these is charity. Our faith is wonderful. Our hope to believe, we must have it. With all you're getting, get this. Don't just settle for substitutes of talking about thunders and talking about this, that, and other. That, to be honest, many times some of you don't understand what you're talking about anyway. What are you trying to impress one another? So with all of our getting, let's get this. You love him with all your heart. Amen. Let's just raise your hands. Hey, sing, I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Your pride, your arrogance, your selfishness, anything you're holding on to today that would hinder the flow of the Spirit of God. Your self-love. Let's just surrender it to him now, can we? Before we go, let's sing it together.
All to Jesus I surrender. Savior.
Blessed Savior.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lamb of God. Even this Tuesday, going for a trip to Tanzania to be with the saints there next week for Easter. So he wants us to pray for him. The Lord will just be with him, be in the services there. Heavenly Father, we lay our hands on our brother today, Lord. Lord, these are your sheep. He's going to preach and help. Try to put forth an effort to be a blessing and a help to him, Lord. I know they're so thankful that he's coming over, Lord. I think of them, Lord, and I see different ones of their faces and the preachers coming up before me. Lord, as I just got that email from Brother Zephaniah this week, my heart ached to be able to go back and be among them myself. But Lord Jesus, you put it on Brother Terry's heart to go. So I just pray that you'd go before him, Father. Give him safety flying, and Lord, in his transits going back and forth. May the presence of God just move with him in the services there, Lord. We just believe you, Heavenly Father, for a good report of your visitation, Lord, from the presence of God. Oh, Jesus, may your divine portion come, Lord, and be with them, we pray. Lord, while we're praying for that, we also want to pray for the youth camp, Lord, the meeting's coming up. Lord, how grateful I am, Lord, that you placed it on Brother Tim and Brother Daniel's heart years and years ago, Lord. Oh, Jesus, how many lives have been transformed. I think, Lord, I was allowed, Brother John LaFontaine preached the first one. I was allowed to preach the second one, Lord. 20-some years it's been going on, Lord. How many young people have been turned around from the pits of hell and started heavenward? How many of them, Lord, got the Holy Ghost? I pray, Heavenly Father, you'd visit them in a special way, Lord. Grant it, dear God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, we worship you. We rejoice in your presence, O living God. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father.
He is holy. Jesus is
it's been good to be in church this weekend. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate you praying for me. I started preaching there last night and started coughing, and I've seen different saints bow their head over the congregation, begin to pray for them, and I'm sure you noticed it. Whenever they begin to pray, that coughing thing left, and then it never coughed again till after church. Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate it. Pray for me and regain my strength. Just remember those that are still sick, and this too will pass. Amen. God bless you. Hey, friends, we'll come back in here next week, Lynn. Let's come back in here with this in mind. I'm not here to worship to please myself. I'm not here to please Louie. I'm not here to please these musicians. I'm not here to sing to please anybody else. I'm here to serve you, God. I'm here to please you. I want to please you. Amen. Praise be to God. God bless you. I love you in the Lord. Sing it as we go. Go in the fear of God.
For He is holy.